Chapter 5.
The shaft goes deep into the heart of the mountain,
said Reconnaissance Sergeant Loth. He spat on the landing pad deck. The acidic transhuman saliva sizzled as it ate into the metalwork.
300 meters straight down.
Loth had taken off his helm, augmented with non-standard sensor arrays and targeters, to give his report to Saur Talgron. One of his eyes had been replaced with a bionic, the lens whirring faintly as it focused. His one remaining organic eye was cold and utterly soulless. The captain noted the 12th-toothed cog symbol branded into his forehead, marking him as having received training on Mars. Such a mark was highly unusual outside of Techmarine covenants. He had been groomed for that path, but had neither the temperament nor the inclination to succeed upon it. He had been reassigned to the recon ranks, where his fierce independence, resourcefulness, and insubordination were a more comfortable fit. Those same traits that had made him such a bad line soldier proved to be an asset, and his Martian training made him invaluable when working behind enemy lines as a saboteur. Indeed, that talent had been well used on Terra. He cradled a long rifle wrapped in camo netting in the crook of one arm. A ragged, camellia-lined shadow cloak hung over his stripped-down armour, the heavy material bending light around him. Beneath the dust and mud, that armour retained the slate-grey of the Legion's original colours. He had cursed, using low-caste Colchisian gutter slang, when Dark Apostle Jarulek had questioned his choice not to consecrate his armour in the colours of the Legion reborn.
"You try, remaining unseen, garbed in red priest,"
he had snarled. Jarulek had sought Saur Talgron, requesting that the captain overrule the insubordinate recon sergeant. But he had not disagreed with Loth's reasoning, and had let the protest stand. It had been Loth and his understrength squad that had spied the stealth-shrouded enemy craft flying low through the valleys of the mountains. They had been returning from a scouting kill mission, and while the enemy craft had not appeared on the squad's signum, they had locked onto its heat signature and tracked it as it came in to land. It had been Loth's locator beacon that had guided Saur Talgron's ship here. The 17th Legion warriors were working to gain entry to the shaft via the sealed, heavy, reinforced blast portal that appeared to be the only entrance. Lascutters spat and whined as they worked.
"There's a conveyor currently at the base of the shaft," said Loth. "It's been deactivated and will be rigged, if they have any sense. It's what I'd do."
"Can you bring it back online?" said Saur Talgron.
"Shouldn't be difficult."
"Good," said Saur Talgron. "Once that door is free, I want you and your squad down that shaft. Bring the conveyor up. Try not to get yourselves blown up."
Loth nodded vaguely and moved to brief his squad, spitting again as he walked away.
"Low-caste dog," said Dal'ak,
watching Loth squat and begin outlining his orders to the group crouched around him.
"Yeah, I was low-caste as well, remember," growled Saur Talgron.
"I'm sorry, my lord. I spoke out of turn."
"Put your prejudice aside. If he wasn't any good, he'd be dead by now."
"They'll be waiting for us down there. We'll be walking straight into their guns."
"I am aware of that," said Saur Talgron.
"I don't understand, Captain. Why are we bothering with them? The war is won. The world is taken."
"I do not intend to leave this sector while a single ultramarine still breathes within it," said Saur Talgron. "We could pound this mountain for weeks from orbit and they'd still be down there. They'd barely even notice. Are we walking into an ambush?" "Yes." "Is there any alternative?" "No."
"Why retreat here?"
"Ah, now that is the better question."
"And the answer?"
Saur Talgron turned to look at his master of signal.
"I have no idea," he said.
"Pistols and blades,"
Loth announced, standing. His legionaries unburdened themselves of extraneous encumbrance, ammunition, power packs, communications equipment, and their bulkier weapons. They stripped off their refractive shadow cloaks. Lastly, Loth leaned his long rifle amidst the pile of gear, parting with it only reluctantly.
"Nobody touched that,"
he snarled, before slipping on his modified helm. His lenses did not light up. They were non-reflective and muted, as flat and dead as his single organic eye. The doors were cracked, and the secure portals were wrenched open. Loth directed a lazy salute at Sor Talgron and Dal-Ak before turning and leading his squad on the descent. One by one, they slipped over the lip of the conveyor shaft, as soundless as shadows.
"Insubordinate bastard,"
said Dal-Ak after he had gone, moving amongst the stacked gear and pointedly kicking over Loth's rifle. Sor Talgron shook his head. While they waited, another shuttle arrived, brought in at Sor Talgron's order. A heavily armoured siege squad disembarked, clomping onto the landing pad. They wore Mark III iron armour, heavily modified for frontal assaults, and each carried a bulky siege shield. They were amongst the most battle-hardened legionaries within the chapter, often forming the vanguard against fortifications and enemy ships, and while the rate of attrition within their ranks was notoriously high, that was also a mark of honour amongst them. These tough veterans were some of Sor Talgron's premier linebreakers.
"At your command,"
said Talakas, the squad sergeant. A massive thunderhammer was maglocked across his back. The Dark Apostle Jarulek also accompanied the breacher squad. The legionaries bowed their heads as he walked through their ranks, offering him a level of deference that Sor Talgron found distasteful. Still, he could not dispute the effect the preacher's presence had on his men. Their resolve was visibly bolstered wherever he fought in the battle line, and there had been more than one engagement where the success of the 34th had hinged on his ability to inspire a fanatical zealotry among the legionaries. Sor Talgron mistrusted the way he manipulated the emotions of those who followed him, but he was not fool enough to be blind to the fact the priest served a purpose, and served it well. Perhaps what rankled most was that while Jarulek would never have the strategic acumen that Sor Talgron commanded, he instinctively knew how to get the best out of the men on the ground, better than Sor Talgron himself. The priest knew the power of well-chosen words, and when his fiery rhetoric should be punctuated with action, he inspired them. Sor Talgron was deeply respected by all, but he was not one for speeches or fancy words. He was built for direct action, and while he had a deep-seated aversion to the power of anything as ephemeral as mere words, he knew that this was more of a weakness on his part than a reflection of their lack of worth. Not that Jarulek was a poor soldier, the opposite, in fact. If he had not been claimed early in his tenure, plucked from the ranks of neophytes and chosen for a chaplain's ministry, Sor Talgron would have had him commanding a battalion of his own by now. His instincts were good, and they had been further honed in the time that he had spent seconded to Cor Faeron, acting as one of his war consuls. Jarulek knew of his misgivings.
"You do not require the rhetoric of faith in order to fight your best,"
Jarulek had said to him on the fields of Nalassa. That day the Dark Apostle had led a savage counterattack against the Greenskins, driving a wedge into the heart of the enemy formations to slay their warlord. That action had won them that war. Both of them had been covered in sticky, foul-smelling Greenskin gore.
"That is not your way, and meaning no disrespect, my lord, it is both a strength and weakness. But these warriors," he had said, gesturing to the victorious legionaries around them, "they do not have your singularity of focus, your resolve, your pragmatism. They need something more. They need faith and guidance. They fight all the better for it, and without it they would be lost."
It grated on Sor Talgron that he knew the preacher was right. He inclined his head to Jarulek now as the preacher made his rounds, stopping to speak in quiet tones to individual warriors, laying a hand upon the shoulder of others. Jarulek bowed to him, lowering his eyes in deference. Sor Talgron turned away. He commandeered a boarding shield from the newcomer's weapon cache. It was heavy, with an inbuilt refractor field, and it covered a legionary from head to knee. Its surface was black, and it bore evidence of las scoring and plasma burns. There were other, newer shields that he could have chosen, but he had an aversion to weapons that had not yet been tempered in battle. Dal'ak had remarked once that it was just superstition, and he knew that the captain hated anything as pointless as superstition. Saw Talgron had not deigned to reply.
"You really are a humourless bastard, you know,"
Dal'ak had said. That had got a smile out of him. There was no hint of levity in the Master of Signal now, though. He could practically see the scowl on his face for all that he was wearing his battle helm.
"You are going in yourself, then?"
said Dal'ak. Any belligerence or disapproval in his tone was rendered indiscernible by the helm's augmenters. Everything was transformed into an angry growl by Legion helms, such that all subtlety in tone and intonation was lost. It was perhaps one of the reasons why Space Marines were so poor at reading irony and sarcasm in unaugmented humans, he thought.
"I am," said Saw Talgron. "You are not."
The Master of Signals said nothing. He didn't need to.
"I need you up here. Keep the communication lines open."
Dal'ak saluted him and walked away without a word. His disapproval radiated off him like a heat haze. Saw Talgron locked the boarding shield to his left arm. He felt the humming vibration as the refractor field powered up. He moved to the edge of the landing platform. In the far distance, the bulk landers hung like vast, swollen insects. He stood alone.
"You are a different breed from the rest of the 17th Legion. You are practical and pragmatic, where your brothers are overzealous."
Dawn's words grated on him. Maybe he had been the right choice to act as the enemy within, but he had loathed every moment of it. He had hated the deception, stealth, and falseness that had been demanded of him, and he hated himself for having performed that role so well. He had despised it. But a soldier follows orders. Perhaps Slorgar had chosen well. There were others within the Legion that hungered for power and would have revelled in the betrayal. Erebus, for one. Few saw him for the conniving manipulator that he was. That said, Dawn wouldn't have been taken in by him. Of that he was sure. Saw Talgron had always been surprised that others did not see through the poisonous first chaplain. He had had too much influence over the Legion, and his corruption was contagious. Saw Talgron prayed that the snake would not survive Kalth. Prayed. Poor choice of words on his part. He had never prayed a day in his life, not even as a child on Colchis. He was not planning on starting now. He had seen the same cancer that festered in Erebus within some members of the chapter. It was not to the same degree as in the other chapters of the Legion, but it was there, much to his chagrin. It was worse among the newer recruits. Those more recently indoctrinated into the 17th Legion seemed more corruptible, more drawn to immersing themselves in the new faith and the lust for power. It did not bode well for the future, and he had grave concerns for the Legion. Would it even be recognizable in a decade or 100 years hence? He had done what he could to keep the ranks of the 34th as clean as possible. Those he'd judged most inclined to fall to Erebus's corrupting influence had been sent on to Kalth. He would not be displeased if none of them came back. It was another purge of the Legion's ranks, in a sense. Not of the scale of the one that had come before, but an important one nonetheless. He did not care if martyrs were made. Cut out the corruption, and the whole may be diminished, but the Legion would be stronger for it in the long run. He was not normally one to dwell on introspection. At least, he had not been before 4716, and he had a task at hand. Less than 15 minutes had passed when word came from the scouts.
4 explosive devices disengaged, and the beacon is set,
came Loth's cold whisper in Saw Talgron's ear, breaking his self-imposed vox silence.
Power has been restored to the conveyor, on the way topside.
Moments later, the grinding of mechanical gears announced the carriage beginning its ascent.
There are enemies back down there,
added Loth.
Legionaries and Imperial Army.
Numbers?
Difficult to say. Our scanners were being blocked. Not many, but dug in and waiting.
Master of Signal, said Saw Talgrun, cutting off his vox link. Does the fleet have a lock on the beacon?
They do, Captain, said Dal'ak. They are calibrating now.
How long?
They will be ready to sequence in 7 minutes.
What are your orders, my lord?
Asked Jarilek, joining them.
How are you going to play this?
We go down there. We kill everything we find, he said.
Good plan,
said Jarilek with a smile.
That smile never touched his eyes, Saw Talgrun noted. In his eyes lurked only darkness.